we have this is a large study, and we've already gone through what I initially called the first fall, and the first fall was the fall of Satan. But we began to identify that first fall, because that's the term, that's the terminology that most Christians know, the fall of mankind, though. But the first fall was the breach, and that was what Satan did when he was not, when he was Lucifer, when he was an anointed cherub, when he was, you know, special to God in the sense of the way it's described there in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, and to what, to the place that he is now. That's a breach and a fall that's just horrible. Well, of course, Satan decided to take that, to take it within, to spread it within heaven and to the other angels, and he did. And so our last bunch of that we've been talking about has been that, the fallen angels. And I don't know that I fully covered that, you know, but these classes are going long. So now we want to talk about bringing that fall, that let's say it like this, the expansion of the breach now into the earth, because the first two, Satan and then the fallen angels, were in heaven. But this is the spread of the breach to earth, and it begins with Adam and Eve. And most of us are well familiar with the scriptures, but and we'll read those scriptures in Genesis shortly. But I want to refer to them because most of you do know and are familiar with those scriptures in relation to that. That when you describe the breach coming to earth, you know, we don't, it's just, well, Adam and Eve and, you know, they fell and all that. But you, if you were an observer outside of Adam and Eve, and you saw the devil deceiving them and tempting them, and you saw God over here, you would say something like, there's a devil in the garden, God's garden. There's a devil in God's garden. And you'd begin to understand that this was serious, very serious. It left heaven, if you will, or it spread from there, and is now in the earth. And one of the first things that you would see is that you would see that this devil, especially if you were God or the Father, or the Son, or the Holy Spirit, of their nature and of their way, to see that now coming into the earth. The word breach means a lot more to them than it does to us, because it's a breach of who they are. Anyway, so so there's a devil in the garden, and he's over there with Adam and Eve. And so what are we going to see? What are we going to see if you were an outsider watching that? If you're just looking at that, you would see, if you were of God, you would see a deceiver. You would see a deceiver. And you would see that he makes... I jotted down a few things just before I came over, actually. He makes it look like, this is the devil. Now, he makes it look like he, the devil, interacts with Adam and Eve more than God does. On a closer basis. from what information we have. It makes him look like he appears wiser and more knowing than God, because he's telling them things. Well, God didn't tell you this. God didn't show you this. And well, let me open your eyes, you know, which is some of his terminology and thoughts is, you know, this will open your eyes. And it makes him appear greater than God in relationship to his care for them. Because he's, well, you know, you mean God told you that? Let me tell you, you can become wise. You can know things you couldn't even imagine, you know. And that's that with it. I've said this before, but with those words is basically in a roundabout way over their shoulder saying, God's holding back from you. Almost as if it is that he, if he's like a stingy God, or, you know, he's trying to keep all of the glory to himself, and he didn't want you to have this, because if you had this, you would be as a God, you know. And so then I just started thinking about, well, okay, let's think of some of the faults, if you will. That's a kind word, of the breach master, some of the faults of the breach master. If you know, if you're not deceived, if you're not Adam and Eve, if you're God, or if you're that observer that I was talking about, that you can actually observe, you know, you're not among the breached, you're not among the deceived, then you could look at that and say, you know, this guy's a liar. I mean, he's just a liar. He's lying through his teeth. He's telling them stuff they don't know any better. So he's just filling them with lies. And then the other thing that you would notice, even though it's subtle, is that he's a slanderer. He's slandering God. He's slandering God. If anybody's ever been slandered before, which means a bunch of stuff said about you that isn't true, that is, you know, it's false, but everybody's believing it. Imagine God being slandered by his own creation, you know. So he slanders. He fakes interest in them. He's faking his interest in them. It's not about them. It's about him. And it's about what he's going to build. And it's about what he's going to take away from God so that he can show that he's better. You know, you don't know his thinking, but his thinking could be, I'm taking these people, I'm trying to take the angels away from you, and I'm trying to take these people away from you, because you don't, you know, you don't really seem to have it together, or you don't have ambition, or you don't really care about them. So, you see those things working. You see that stuff going on. And so Kelly, if I have somebody asking questions, are they going to still be able to do whatever they want to do? Okay. All right. Anyway, not quite there. So if, yeah, that's fine. All right. So, his wisdom and way is a breach against God. And that's one of the things, if you were an outside observer, you'd be able to look at that and say, you know, his wisdom and his way is a breach against God. And, you know, it is completely the opposite pertaining to the purpose for which God made him, his maker. I'm sure some of you remember us discussing that. From his maker, Satan has departed from his maker, or he has, same thing, just different words, he has departed from the purpose that God has made him. And God hadn't made him, it's okay if God made him the anointed cherub, be that, but be that in a right spirit. Don't be that with glorying in yourself when you were created and everything that you have, God gave you. You know, I mean, you see this in, you know, shows like American Idol or something like that. You see people functioning by talents that many of us don't have, and you go, wow, you know, that's amazing. I mean, you know, that's amazing or whatever. But, you know, I mean, God gave them that talent, but they're assuming that it's themselves, and therefore they're greater because clearly they can sing or play or do something better than most everybody else. And so they are great. This is Satan's path. This is not a heart that says, you know, a heart of gratitude that just says, Lord, thank you for not just the things that make me great or whatever. Thank you. You know, thank you for my hands, that I have hands, you know. Thank you that, you know, you learn to be thankful for those things when they disappear and you can't walk anymore or you can't do this. And you go, oh, gosh, I never thank God once for the ability to walk. And yet, where would you have been without it? One of the final things that I just want to sort of address here, and is that his approach to slander and to lie to and to get was to the weaker vessel. It was to the woman. It was to the weaker vessel. So now turn with me to Genesis chapter 2, and then we'll pop over to chapter 3 where all these things are majorly there. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. By the way, thank all of you for being on tonight. I probably look somewhat weak and whatever, but I'm fine and I wanted to be here with you and I love you. And, you know, we're together. This is Genesis 2, verse, starting with verse 15 through 18. And it ultimately is going to pertain to the weaker vessel in the final verse. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it, to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. So this is God seeing a need, and it's, you know, I believe with all my heart it's more than God seeing a need. I believe it is something like we see in relationship to Jesus, a desire for a counterpart, a desire for a bride, a desire for, you know, because they created everything with a counterpart, and it was male and female. And so something that could see and be and feel and move. In him we live and move and have our being after his being, after him. But not just a being thing, not just like a dog is, a female dog will act a lot like a male dog. But being of his, him, out from him, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, his rib. Therefore God sees that and he says, you know, I will make him a helpmeet or a help fit for him. And, so I wrote this, a breached wife is no help to her husband. A breached wife is no help to her husband. Though I have little itches and stuff and I want to reach up here and do something with it. This, and we're not just talking about women and whatever, but we are in the sense of seeing a concept that's going to relate to Jesus and his bride. Okay, so stick with me. This is not condemnation time for women, but it is applicable to a spiritual thing that could bring our hearts more deeply into his heart, whether male or female. A breached wife is no help to her husband. And so that's what we're going to end up with. I mean, of course, the breach is going to be across the whole thing. But I want to read the scriptures in relationship again to the weaker vessel and a breached wife not being a help to her husband, or a wife that is deceivable. You have two separate views. You have God and that which is of God and flows with his heart and spirit. And you have that which is not and flows with its own ideas and whatever. And then you have that which is God's but flows with its own heart and ideas. So you got some mixture there. And our desire, male or female, should be always about, if you will, always about our husband, always about the Lord. I say that and we say, well, I can't think about the Lord all day. I got to go to work and just da-da-da-da. I'm not talking about thinking about him in that sense, in the sense of, well, I'm thinking about the Lord, you know. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about maybe this. Maybe the way some guy in University of North Texas meets a girl and she's everything he ever wanted and he's everything she ever wanted and both of them have to go to different classes and then have different jobs afterwards, but they think about one another, but it's not based on, well, let me think about the Lord, you know. It's about, you know, I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you. I love your heart. I love your ways. I love the things that you do and don't ask for any credit at all. I love the selfless giving that goes so deep compared to all of ours. And to in those thoughts, there's an embrace. Again, not just thinking about the Lord. Well, I was thinking about the scripture or something like that. But that thinking, that even if it's just once during the day, it makes glad the heart, you know. And there's an embrace, and he feels it, and it's more than feelings, but I'm going to use that phrase to help you to understand that God does want this. And if you don't believe it, just read a whole bunch of the prophets and see how wounded the Lord is in this area. It's major. It's just huge. And it's not just the book of Hosea either. Excuse me. Let me catch my breath just for a second. Okay. So I wanted to read now. In Genesis 3, and of course this is going to apply for a while now, because we're in this section in our study. You know, this is the section dealing with the breach coming to earth. This is its first landing in the earth, and it is the first or the second element of spread from the fallen angels. First hint, first Satan, then the fallen angels, and him spreading it to the fallen angels, and then to Adam and Eve. So it's going to be important for a while. So this is Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, and tonight we'll probably just go down to verse 8. Okay, well. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So, let me read that sentence again. It's so easy to miss certain things. And these certain things can really make us ask questions if we're paying attention. I don't know what wording to use. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, not to the man, but to the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And I don't know if you see how slippery that is, but it's full of deceit and slander. And the woman said unto the serpent, Okay. We shouldn't be talking to the devil. Okay. I mean, it's just, you know, but we don't know we are because we're deceived. We don't know it because we're deceived. And if we really knew it the way we're supposed to know it in relationship to what this breach means to God, then we would know it and we would go, I ain't talking to you. You know, maybe not even that much attention for him. Maybe just nothing. And y'all have heard me say it millions of times, but you know, people come to me and say, well, the devil said that I'm no good and da, 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 da. And I'm going, why are you listening to the devil about who you are? You're born again, right? Yeah. You're in Christ, right? Yeah. You have the Spirit of God in you, right? Right. Then why are you listening to the devil about who you are? Or who anyone else is? So the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the garden. See, just with her, you can tell she just don't have a clue. She's just deceived. She just doesn't have a clue. And this kind of deception is some of the worst in the sense of if we're clueless to the breach, then we may have a happy Christianity. I'm going to just say it like this, and if nothing else to get your attention, you can throw it back at me later. to have a happy Christianity, not knowing that we're not having a happy father and a happy husband, the Lord, and a happy spirit, a comforter, this Holy Spirit. And y'all know this. Y'all know this about me. You know, I want to think more about them than about me. I want them to be in my thoughts. I mean, it's about, it would be, you know, it would be like, well, in my situation, if I'm having surgery, even if it wasn't that dangerous or whatever, and you thought about me, you know, and you went, it's not hard. You just go, well, I care about this person. And you thought about me, or you prayed or whatever, because that person is important. Well, I want, and I know you do too, but I'm just saying this. I want the Father to be my Father. And if He is, then that's more than He's a Father. I want Jesus to be more than my Savior. I want to do things, and not just do things. So let me even go beyond that. I want to know things and entertain things within a sentence that would have to do with Him more than entertaining the subject or the verbs that are describing an ongoing story. I want, when it's all said and done, they're the only ones going to be left except those that are with Him in that spirit. I'm not saying about anything about being left, you know, we made it or something like that. No, I want to be there because I want to be with Him. Because I care about how these things affect Him, if you will. And there's much more than that. I don't feel like I'm fully able to impart tonight a spirit of care for a person that I would do or not do certain things. I would do certain things that I never would have before. And I would not do certain other things that I never would be, you know, would have done before. All because, not for approval, but to be with them, of them. Heart to heart, you know. And, that probably sounds so corny, all of it. But hopefully the Spirit of God's taking these simple words on His wings and bringing them to us. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman. So, again, weaker vessel. And we can all say, well, I'm a weaker vessel. And I, you know, or we can all, you know, the women can all say, well, I'm a woman. But, you know, you get in different situations, and the weaker vessel could be a man or a woman or da-da-da-da. The point isn't gender. The point is that we're susceptible to lies and slander and deception against the Lord. Verse 6. And when the woman saw, you know, the woman, The serpent said unto the woman, verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took when she saw it. And but, you know, y'all may remember when I was sharing in Ireland, for those of you who ever went back to listen to those things, that there's a scripture that shows that in that garden, every tree was pleasant to the eye and good for food and all the things that she's being tempted here. She is in that garden. All those trees were registered, if you will, as that. And yet all of a sudden, because the devil's pointing that out, it's like, oh, I should take that, you know. And it just shows a deception that, you know, when you're there, you can't see the difference between everything around you being of that. But somebody or the enemy himself is pointing out something, and when he starts glorifying it, you know, then, oh, well, I want that, or I want to be that, or something, when you could have had it before the devil even showed up. She took, and she gave. And then down to verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Who's that sound like?
Jonah.
Yep, long line of that stuff's going to be coming up in the history called the Bible. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God, amongst the trees of the garden. So the trees that were all pleasant and good for food and everything that the one that they ate of, they're using it for cover, to hide themselves from God. And we know from the Bible that the devil is a deceiver and the best deceiver there is, and we know that male or female, we are all in light of comparing ourselves with the devil. We are all susceptible to his wiles. It says that in Ephesians 5. We're all susceptible to that because we're all the weaker vessel. So you know, what hope do we have then if we're all a weaker vessel? Well, the beauty of this whole thing is that Jesus is not susceptible, and he proved that when he walked this earth when he was tempted of the devil. He's not susceptible to all that. And so he declares us to be, even though in this earth we're male and female, in heart we are as a bride that loves him. And I know some people have a hard time with that and da-da-da-da and, you know, whatever. If you love Jesus, just love him. You know what I mean? Just stay away from all the politics and everything else going on. But it's interesting that a joining, when you have a susceptible one and one that's not, and you don't try to conform Jesus to you or feed him your junk like she did Adam, you don't try to feed him your stuff and get him to go with you, and you know, well, you know, I'm the weaker vessel. Yeah, I know. So stop going with you. Being a weaker vessel doesn't mean you that's an excuse, first of all. Number two, it doesn't mean that you being a weaker vessel, whether you're male or female, are exempt from all that he is. That's, in other words, I'm clinging to the fact that I'm a weaker vessel instead of clinging to the fact that I'm joined to someone that sees, and someone that cares, and someone that covers, and, you know, all those things. You know, I wonder sometimes how often we think about those things about the Lord. He's marvelously that way on a daily basis for us. We don't even know how many times he's protected us. But he doesn't want to just protect us all the time with no knowledge of it, you know. He wants us to know his heart. And in knowing his heart, then if you quote unquote can't change, then you can exchange, you know. And that's over in Isaiah, and I'm trying to remember exactly how the scripture goes, but it's talking about they shall mount up with wings as eagle, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. The verse, there's part of that verse. What?
They that wait upon the Lord
shall renew their strength. Well, interestingly enough, the King James there about renew is actually change your strength. You're not, it's not like he's going, doing this thing within you, and you go, he renewed my strength. I'll last for another week or something like that. But he changes our strength. They that wait upon the Lord, they that are trusting on the Lord, those that are not going to go, well, I got to do something now, you know, but I am waiting on him, and I am trusting in him, and I will mount up with wings as eagles. I will run and not grow weary. I will be able to do that as long as I am trusting in that connection that he's made with us. That is wonderfully, wonderfully at work in his heart, though we're in a world, and sadly living in a world, that is saying the opposite of that, the devil's world, the god of this world. And so anyway, I don't know how some of this is coming across, but my heart and my goal is to help us begin to see that Adam and Eve both, their hope is being joined to the Lord. Romans 5. So let's see, what else do I have here? All right, well, there were some things that I was going to have us turn on our mic and discuss tonight. I think I need to probably cut it short in righteousness. But I want to, next time, Lord willing, I say this a lot of times, I go next time, and then it's 3 months later or something, but I want to, you know, I don't see a lot of people talking about this. I want to discuss this thing about the serpent and about Satan. Is Satan the serpent? Did he possess a serpent? If you're interested in that, or you want to search on that, then the idea behind it is who's really at work in that, and And is there, gosh, see, I don't want to say certain words here to give some of the things away. Anyway, you can just look in relationship to Satan and the serpent and then see if you see anything, because the way that you'll do that is just go over the scriptures that talk about this thing. And I read all of them, chapter 3 and chapter 2, I think it was. So, anyway, sorry, not all fully here yet. Oh, let's see. Is there anybody that would bless us with a closing prayer? If you will, and I would appreciate it much. I would love to hear, and you may not, I was going to say, I'd love to hear you pray, Alana, but you have kids and I don't want you waking them up or anything. Anybody would like to just unmute their thing and just pray tonight?
I'll pray.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Father, we just we do hear your heart in an essence, and I don't think I'm the only one that just receives it with just not in heaviness, Lord, but oh, a seriousness to not take it lightly. And our desire, Lord, to not be susceptible, but to be like the Shulamite who was built and comparable to a tower. And I don't know all the right comparisons, but my heart, Lord, is to not be breached for your sake and to not blow past things that are so valuable to you and so deeply felt by you, but to be tender to your heart. So I just pray for us that we would receive and Lord, in whatever place we're at right now, that we would just receive you and the things that you're speaking to us. And just to trust you, because you're the hope, you're our desire, and you're the one. And we are not the one, but we are one with you. We receive your heart. We just say, keep on speaking to us, Lord, and let us not miss you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.